CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, lead guy at Invisible Collective and one of the makers of the video game Battle Sloss 2025.
The Great Pizza Wars.
The Great Pizza Wars. Phil Johnson.
Hello.
How's it going, sir?
Yeah, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you back again. It's good to have you back, especially because we're a week or two out of Classic Game Fest.
Yeah, I went there with, well, actually you got me in, so thank you.
You're friendlies, and though I paid for badge, I upgraded to a guest badge, because we have some spare guest badges. Do you want one? Yeah, sure. Here.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, because I was like introducing myself to some of the people in NPC, the Nerdy People of Color collective. And when I got to talking to Samus, who I'm a huge fan of, such a sweet, nice person, and she liked my Battlesoft shirt, and she's like, "What is that from?" And I said, "Oh, it's from my..."
I was wearing that shirt Friday, the day it was there in San Antonio. There was a show going on with Kirby's Dream Band, BitForce, Mega Ran, a whole lot of people too, and Chris as well. And I was there wearing it. People were like, "Awesome shirt." And for those who have no idea what we're talking about,
the best shirt.
It's the best shirt that you cannot get. And it's a shame, and I'm sorry, but that's sometimes, C&Ds are a real thing.
Killer Mike, LP, holler at me. Let's figure this out.
But the shirt basically is, for lack of better words, a parody of the Run the Jewels logo, which is sort of a...
I don't know how
to describe it, but it's if you look up Run the Jewels, you'll see it. And it's one severed sloth hand doing the one thing, another sloth hand severed, dangling pizza.
Yeah, I mean, considering most of the team's affinity for really great rap music and hip hop, it just seemed like the most obvious shirt to make.
No, for sure, it's a great shirt. It's a killer shirt. I was so glad you gave it to me. And Vincent Banks, better known as DJ Rockman, is like, "Oh yeah, I gotta have that shirt too," because he got it immediately. And so I was wearing it on Friday, and everyone's like, awesome shirt. And only, I think, one of the guys said, "What's Battle Sloss?" Because he noticed exactly, he started reading, he thought it was just a weird parody. Then he noticed, "Hold on a second, there's this other subtext here," and I had to explain the game. I was like, "That's an awesome game," and it's like, "That's cool." And I love that this shirt is one of those things that, I'll have in my artifacts of shirts that just can never...
Yeah, I'm like, I only got one, so I'm kind of thinking, man, I really shouldn't wear it unless it's something important.
Well, because it's
going to last me the rest of my life.
it's a cool shirt. It's definitely one of those ones that...
I guess I could always save the file and just kind of secretly
print it. It's all good. I mean, again, it's a great shirt. I understand why it is in the state that it's in, and I understand why it's no longer allowed. Kind of speaking worries, but it's one of those shirts that when people see it, they're like, "That's awesome!" And it's so funny when Samus is like, "That's a great shirt. What is that?"
Yeah. So I explained it to her, and I was saying, "Oh, it's my video game." And I was also kind of saying, "Oh, it's nice to be at a convention where I'm not working for once."
And then
Samus is like, "Oh, you should bring your game out. Set it up here at the merch table." I was like, "All right. Well, Samus says I'm working now."
Yeah. And then people started coming by and whatnot. And then, of course, you rocked your pizza pants as you...
Yeah. I think that outfit's a bit... I don't know.
Bit loud.
I might retire that one.
It's a loud outfit. I'm not... It's one of those things when I see it, I'm like... Phil's rocking the pizza pants again. All right.
I like the pizza pants. I just don't like it with the red shirt and the hat.
It's just a very loud outfit.
The whole package is a bit much, but the pizza pants by themselves, they're fine.
And there's nothing wrong with a loud... I don't remember the kid's name, but there's a fan of Scam School that will sometimes come by, and I think he's... I'd like to say he's out of, he's definitely not out of Texas, and I know, and so when he comes by, it's a surprise, but... I forgot his name. I even forgot his card. But he would come to the shows, like, in his performance outfit, where he has some, like, loud, like you know the joke about, like, magic pants and that like, colorful thing? Like, he's got some loud pants.
Right.
Like they're just, you may want to, you know, put your shirt down, my friend, unless you want to show the belly and the gut. You could choose otherwise. It's your body.
That's right. Thank you.
But he was like some loud pants, and it's funny, see, you know, when it comes to just pants that are loud, like loud pants always scare me.
Uh huh.
Just because, like, I'm always like wearing like jeans.
There's nothing to be afraid of, Robert. They're just pants.
Well, I know, but it's just like there are times where I want to kind of cloak and fade back in the distance every so often.
You're afraid of wearing loud pants, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were afraid.
I'm not afraid. No, you wear. Look,
I thought you were saying, like, you were scared.
No,
you get scared when other people wear loud pants.
You wear as loud as pants as you'd like. You wear as loud a shirt as you'd like. You do you, baby, as they say.
Right.
But it's me. It's just like, I know I couldn't rock those pants because it'd be that time where I just want to kind of, you know, sit back, check my phone, check Twitter, you know, read Politico, do whatever. And I couldn't do that because people were like, what the fuck is he doing wearing those pants and looking at the phone? Like, he's not disinterested. That man, like, if you wear pants like that, you demand attention in both a good way and a bad way, but specifically usually in a good – again, like with you and the pizza pants, it's like, oh, Phil's rock, you know, Phil's rocking the pants again. And you can't miss
it. It's just branding for me.
No, like, of course it is. No, I understand.
Although I make so many friends wearing those pants.
Well, because it's – again, it's a distinctive feature.
It's kind of an invitation. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, I like your pants, and it's, I don't know.
Aye, well, why are you wearing the pants? Well, you see, this is part of a getup here. So
I like these pants, though. No one ever talks about them.
That's the thing. It's no one talks about, like, oh, nice jeans. I mean, they might say nice jeans, but they're never like, wow, those are loud pants. You know, we never say, you know.
Well, no one ever says, I hate your pants. That would be like, what kind of jerk would do that?
So let's kind of go back to Classic Game Fest, just because I haven't had a chance to really talk about it at all. This is your first time going to Classic Game Fest, right?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I'm new to Austin, so
right.
Yeah, that's cool.
What did you? Did you? I know, like, I was pretty much in the music side of things, and so were you. Did you go walk about a bit in the actual convention?
I got to meet Walter Day, and you were
there.
That's
right. I
was
there too.
With me. He's like a kindly, sweet old man. We talked about meditation, yoga, and he's like mostly vegan. He says he only eats like cheese or something every super rarely.
But I think, he's definitely like it's funny meeting Walter Day. I think the funny thing about the show, and I may tell a story, and I won't say the names of who was afflicted by it, but it became enough of a thing where we have a hashtag for it. But it's funny meeting Walter, and for those who don't know, at Classic Game Fest this year, Walter Day and Billy Mitchell, Walter Day, of course, famous for establishing Twin Galaxies, one of the beginning premier arcades, the premier kind of high score list back in the day, and Billy Mitchell being one of the guys that set the record for Donkey Kong, perfect game. Yeah.
Walter Day was and Billy Mitchell both were somewhat vilified in Fistful of Quarters, but there's another documentary.
Yeah.
I forget what game it was, though. But
it was
like a second game, Burger Time or something.
That leads into the funny thing. It's funny that meeting Walter Day and watching the documentary, I'm like, Walter Day is exactly how I expect him to be. In a good way, in this is very kind, very weird, not weird in a bad way, but just, you know, everyone's unique old man and a cool guy to meet. He's
pretty much what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah, I had a feeling he was like,
I want people to be like
I have a feeling like he is the, okay, if you just take away the cheese and whatever, that is me, that is the way I want to, the you know, end point I want to be, where it's deep, you know, it's transcendental meditation, and
yeah, I just
want to
be like a really zen guru.
Yeah.
Type guy.
And he is. And then there's Billy Mitchell, which you were at the Q&A for the NPC, right?
I was there.
Okay, so I won't say who, because I won't say who it was, but there are two females. We'll just leave it at that. If you're at Classic Game Fest, you know who. If you're part of the NPC, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, she said.
We won't say a name. No names. But so I'll tell from my perspective, because my perspective is funnier the way it was. So two of my friends who are part of the NPC, two of my amazing musician friends, Raheem Jarbo and Kyle Murdoch, better known as Kay Murdoch and Megan Rand, as you know, as their street name. I don't know what the fuck it's called. You know, the musician names. There's a term for that, like not pen name, but there's a term for your performer name.
I guess so.
Your persona. Hey.
Nom de plume.
Nom de plume is what I'm thinking of, actually. Nom de plume. And so we're there, and I'm chit-chatting with, I don't even remember who I was chit-chatting with, to be honest. I might be chit-chatting with you for all I can remember. I remember I see Billy Mitchell make a beeline to them, and I go, oh my God, that's crazy. I've never seen Billy Mitchell, you know, the persona image of Billy Mitchell, I go, has never had him making a beeline to talk to anybody. You know, not because, you know, the person he has is like, I'm the most important person in the world. Everyone should talk to me kind of thing. And I see him make a beeline to talk to my friends. They go, that's awesome. He just made a beeline to talk to my friends. He's never made a beeline to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And he flies back and see Walter Day make a beeline too, chat with them and whatever. Then one of the artist friends comes down. And I will preface, it's a female. And she's a little, you know, her face is kind of weird. And I'm like, well, what happened? And apparently Billy Mitchell made a beeline, not to chat with Kyle and Rand, but to sort of like, in a weird way, hit on the female performer to the point where he was like caressing her hand. And she has no idea who this guy is, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She has no idea who the fuck Billy Mitchell is. You know, Billy Mitchell, you know, to put it persona thing, like the next day he was like garbed in a white suit. Like he looked like the biggest, like if you didn't know who this man was and you didn't know that he was like royalty here, you would think this is like the biggest douche on the planet.
I didn't talk to him interactive at all.
No, I didn't either. And I can't say that, but it was so funny because it was like basically an old man hitting on a younger woman. And like to the point where she was saying like, I wanted to kick, you know, just kick the shit out of him, which would have been awesome. It would have been horrible knowing who it was. But the next day that artist went on, performed, and she has a song kind of, you know, talking about the negativeness of catcalls and stuff like that. And she was basically saying, what was it? She finished her song and then she said, hashtag Billy Madison. I mean, Billy Mitchell.
All right.
Because she honestly had no idea who the hell Billy Mitchell was. And it's so funny. At that moment to see that happen, because I just started laughing. Not because it was horrible and disgusting, but it's that whole thing of that, like we talked about, them being vilified, them being this, and then presenting an image of themselves and like, well, that's an editor, there's someone that did it. And then you see it happen in real life and you go, that doesn't surprise me. And yet I always thought that was a joke.
I mean, I can't really comment.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
No, it was one of those stranger moments. But let's go to the positive stuff of Classic Game Fest, because you saw a lot of different music stuff, especially the ones you had not seen yet. Like had you ever seen Sam's? You saw Sam's perform live.
I've seen her at South by Southwest.
Right.
This is the first time I got to see her headline. But all the NPC Collective was really, really great.
Yeah.
I didn't really get to catch a whole lot much else. I missed most of Saturday. And I was there for all of Sunday, so...
Yeah, you still got to see a good chunk. You got to see
they're all great.
Yeah, see really. IQ perform finally.
Like Kadesh Flow was like pretty mind blowing.
That
Shubzilla was probably stole the show for me.
No, yeah, no, Shubz was amazing. And it's kind of weird for me, because a lot of those guys have now become my friends,
mm-hmm.
like Ran or now Shubz or Samus or even Kay, and it was, you know, I. Like, my Classic Game Fest experience began Wednesday of that week, because Chris Allen, Christ Allen, better known as IQ, is sort of his nerdcore name, was crashing here at Casa del Robert. Like, literally, his air mattress was right down there on the floor. And so I picked him up Wednesday. When Kyle Gate came in, I picked him up. When Samus came in, I picked her up as well. You know, I became sort of the de facto transporting people around, and dropping off merch at tables and whatnot, and it was fun to, you know, to be that part of it, because all these old, you know, everyone has just become a friend now, and they're no longer they're artists. They're all very talented, and I know they're all talented just because of the nature they're with, but it was fun to be at that part of it, and then come to show and just like, this is, you know, mind blowing because I know, you know, like, especially you hadn't seen IQ perform yet, had you?
No, this would be the first time I had seen him perform.
What did you think about Christ, Alan?
I was actually kind of off stage because there was I was watching Chris, and then Rand waved me over because this little kid wanted to play Battle Sloths, and he's like, "You should be playing with the kid." I'm like, "You're right, Mega Rand."
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
So I sat and played with the kid,
that's one of the harder parts, I think, especially you, because you jokingly said that you weren't planning on working a convention. And here you are working a convention.
I mean, I was barely doing anything.
You're still doing something. Like, to the point where people were asking about a game, you were, you know, making sure everything was working fine.
We didn't have too many, like, I mean, I don't know. We had a good amount of players. It was fun.
But let's kind of go back to Classic. And the reason I'm talking about Classic Game Fest is just because it's something that happened to both of us. Did you do anything else besides like music and you know, talking with Walter Day about TPM? Transcendental. Is it called?
Transcendental Meditation.
So TIM or TM. TM
just
is
TM.
What, TM.
Yeah,
is what
so
called.
That's okay. Kind of it, really. Like, I didn't really, there's a lot of vendors, but I wasn't buying anything.
Well, you had some friends that were there, which was kind of, I mean, you know.
Yeah, one of my buddies from, well, Brian was, like, running this this table that was making these cool Zelda lamps.
Yeah, I was a lot of.
So I might buy one of those.
There's a lot
point.
Of really. What was interesting this Classic Game Fest, because it's CGF is such a weird.
And then Finn and them were running that VR area.
That's right.
So that was cool. That might have been the only VR game that was there, actually.
Yeah, it was. It's CGF's weird as an event goes, because, you know, it's this. Like, if RTX is where the internet meets the community type thing, and if South by Southwest Gaming is, you know, where game developers meet the community, Classic Game Fest is strange because even though it's a retro gaming convention, and I mean that in that you go there, there's arcades all around, there's dealers who are selling crazy things, rare things or not. It's strange because even at that point in time, it still has, like, Artist Alley. It still has all these other weird things of a convention. You know, people are cosplaying. Mm-hmm. People are that.
And panels, too.
Right, and there's panels. And the panel guests are people like, you know, like, there was these guys there. I forgot what the name of it is, but they were like, they had basically made their own deconstructed version of controllers.
I think that's some sort of weird experiment where they were trying to make basically the worst controllers they could think of.
And, you know, it's funny. I had never... thought, you know, I was talking with you about this and before the panel, and I was just chit-chatting, and if I'm not, I'll say it again. I had never thought of the idea of, like, how important controller layout is. Like, because I always think of things like button layout, like if you take like a controller, like an SNES kind of thing, and you think, like, you know, like, how is it that we all, you know, if you think about, like, I'll put it this way. When the Steam controller came out, people looked at it strange.
I think they still look at it strange.
Right, but why is that? You know, why is it that we look at that? You know, how is it that we
they're not
all...
looking at it strange. They're picking it up and feeling it, and it feels strange.
Right, but that's like... that was an interesting thing. I've never had thought about the idea of why it is. Because, again, let's say we take a, you know, control like this, right?
Right.
And we break it down. We have perfect. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 buttons, and then the D-pad that goes into all its directions, right? And that seems to have been the layout that we've done now. Like, if you look at something like a 360 controller and compare it, it's, you know, you still have, you know, two analog sticks, still four buttons, still triggers, whatnot. You know, you've added a little bit more complexity.
Right.
But, you know, going to that booth and seeing them basically take this controller, like, or even something like the Nintendo. And just break it down to even weird things like one of the ones they had was, I think, a Nintendo controller, but with toggle switches instead.
I don't know. I didn't really mess with any
right,
of that stuff.
Well, I'm telling you, like, I was there. They had one with, like, a where basically you had to, like, toggle one way to move left and, like, toggle another one to hit, like, you know, A, B, or C, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So imagine playing Sonic on a Genesis controller, except you're not using, you know, this. You're flipping, go left. And you flip up to hit A, and it's repeatedly hit A because it's a toggle switch.
Right, right.
And it was a weird thing for me to think about, like, the idea of how you design how important, like, control scheme is in a game.
You know, I did get to play, like, the Intellivision there, and I played Burger Time, which is like my mom's favorite game.
Yeah, that's right. Especially like older ones for you.
So like I always like kind of rail against the Intellivision controller and keypad dials and all that stuff. But playing it at Burger Time, I'm just like, this is fine.
Yeah,
it's like the one, maybe it might be the one game that actually feels good on that
console. But it's weird. It's weird to talk about that now. And it's fun to talk with you just because, I mean, like when it came to Battlefloss, I can imagine just like trying to get the, you know, I mean, you get kind of lucky having two analog sticks, but imagine if you will, like you eventually ported to use keyboard and mouse just because you had to.
Yeah,
in terms of the control scheme, like I bet you even getting that down took a bit of like finagling.
I don't even know if we got it down yet. I mean, like because it's not meant to be played with keyboard and mouse,
right?
But we put it in there.
Well, because like I was, and the only reason I've thought about that now,
I always play with a controller,
right? Well, because like even something like Spelunky, when it came out on PC, people were angry that they couldn't pinpoint precision stuff with a mouse, and it's like, well, that's not how it was designed and be made. It was meant to be played on a controller, and that's how we designed it and everything else. And it was so weird when you took, you know, when you take the control scheme, cause they, like I think for them, the idea of it was, I think the winner of a raffle would get the, and this is a working controller that came out, and I think it was for one of the Resident Evils where they made the controller on literally a, like a chainsaw.
Oh yeah, I think I've held one of those.
It's a terrible controller. It's a horrible controller. It's dumb as hell. But
well,
it's
the GameCube controller, on the other hand, might be one of the best ones Nintendo ever did.
Yeah,
and I wish they would hire that guy to make their controllers again.
But it's interesting when you, again, it was a weird way of me being presented with something as a game player that I never thought was so critical. Like I never would have thought that.
I mean, have you played the Switch yet? Those Joy-Cons are like, they're hard to do stuff with.
I've kind of played it. I haven't had a chance to really play with it in the hands like that. I've heard it's kind of, but that's, it's fascinating to talk about that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to talk with dev people about that and sort of ask, I'm going to look at the Facebook chat to make sure.
I mean, we always have issues with, you know, cause especially when we're kind of keeping the game simple, like, you know, people were like, well, are you guys going to be able to switch weapons? You're going to have like a shield or other buttons like that. So anytime we went to add a new feature, we had to kind of take into consideration like one, how hard it would be for the player to learn how to use it. And then also like how much more complicated would it make the control scheme? So yeah, I don't know. That stuff is, we have a lot of buttons that do the same thing.
Right. But even, you know, but even the idea of, like again, it was more of me going, having this revelation on game design that I never thought to think of, was the idea of just button layout. Like, and I recently did like a music video where I kind of got a whole bunch of older footage from games, and some of the games had been prior to people using, like if you think about PC controls, like WASD has become the default now. This is like prior to them having as the default, like it became the arrow keys. It was such a weird thing using the arrow keys again. I was like, why does this feel foreign?
Yeah, I don't like using
but
keyboard.
It's, again, it's all these sort of weird things that I had never quite
thought
about.
I bought like, what's it, X-Wing on GOG like a year ago. It's like, X-Wing is back. And I put it out. I'm like thinking like, hell yeah, I used to play the crap out of that game when I was a kid. And so I bought it and then I fired it up and I was like, wow, like this game needs a reboot real bad.
Because, yeah, like, it's weird.
Every single button on your keyboard does something.
And again, it's all these sort of weird things that you don't think about until you're presented with another way of doing it. And when it came to that controller thing, because you're so used to a certain control layout in your hand, whether it be a Nintendo controller or an Xbox 360 controller.
The flight stick would help with X-Wing. But,
right, of course.
These days, it's just hard to map everything to an old-ass game like X-Wing.
Well, it's because there's so many. It's the idea, like, there's so many things you can do. Like I always remember my favorite controller that ever existed. What was the fucking game? It was on the Xbox. The
Steel
mech
Battalion.
Game, Steely Battalion. The fucking, like,
I've never played that one.
But you've seen the control, like, is a nightmare.
It was like a $150 controller, right?
Yeah, that was, basically. Like, that was the game and controller probably cost you about, like, $170.
I wonder if the game was good.
apparently it was a good game, but, like we talk about the idea of like, flight stick stuff like that. Like, this was, like, to the point where, I mean, the game had a cool mechanic that you had to eject out before you died so you'd save your, you know, and you wouldn't lose your save.
Yeah.
But it was the idea that there was an eject button on the controller. And when I talk about controller, we're not talking like,
I mean, who had money to even buy that? Like, yeah. It's just kind of...
Basically what it was, people, if you're too young to remember or you've just never seen it.
Or you blocked it from your memory.
Or you blocked it from memory. It was...
Painful experience.
It was a dual flight stick that looked like the console, if you would, of a mech. And when I mean that, I mean to the point where you had like...
Yeah, this thing had like 100 buttons on it or something.
Yeah, it had like a billion buttons. It had the plastic cover over the eject switch that just like, you know, launched you out. And just the idea that like, who thought that was a grand idea? Who thought that was a marketable grand idea?
Someone who ran a control, had a company that made controllers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's those weird things. I'm like, who the fuck thought this was a... Who thought this was it going to be?
It's a great idea. It's just not very practical.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like who thought this was a... Like, because even the idea that...
It's a great candidate for VR, actually.
Right. Again, they made a later version, not for VR, but for... this is going to blow your mind. They made a later version for fucking... what was the movement-based thing for the Xbox thing called? What was it called?
Kinect.
The Kinect. They made a Kinect version where you could like use your hands and shit like that. Which
I think they could probably do it now for like the Vive. Like,
well, because I know they do that for... They have that for... what is it? Elite Dangerous, where you can have... If you have a flight stick, you can... And you can have a VR, you can literally position it right where it's that, and you can grip, you know, have it like it's a real...
And I thought it was really funny because, like, I was talking about how I wanted to use, like, a game controller to play X-Wing. And right. Everyone's like, you should use a flight stick because it's more natural. Like, oh, more natural? The X-Wing is more natural? Like,
it's like, what? Like,
we don't know what kind of controls a freaking... spaceship
doesn't even matter.
Starfighter is gonna
such
have.
A, well, it's so.
It's not gonna be a yoke. It's probably gonna be like. It's probably just gonna be robots do everything for you. Like, why even bother?
It's all. It's to tell your R2 unit to fly it for you.
There's like
R2
literally
fly this thing while I figure shit out.
Is there any like by the time we get the space travel? Is there any human on the planet that's gonna be better than like a AI robot who could just pilot everything for you?
But
you just tell him what to do.
But going back to all that, it just was such a mind. It was such a weird thing because again, that's why I think of Classic Game Fest for me. Like it's music, and it's all these like weird art kind of things.
Well, it's
because
yeah.
Because after a certain point, I go, I don't like. I've never been a collector of classic games, which sounds weird being the guy that's like. Has
you got a few.
I have a few, but like the few I have are important to me. Like I have all the Mother games because it's important to me. I have Earthbound because it's important to me. You know, I have up there other things and some stuff that's even on the other panels. Like I have us over here in the distance. I have a copy of Sun Solaris for no apparent reason. But I've never been the person that's like, I've got to have them all, or I've got to have this, or I've got to have this rare hyper games. Like,
I would want like just a few that I really, really love.
Exactly, yeah.
I want to get a copy of Crystalis. So anyone want to get me a gift for my birthday or Christmas, get me Crystalis for NES.
That's not terribly hard to find.
I still want it for free.
But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, and I was there, and... I'm going through, you know, because I've never been that kind of mentality where I'm like, oh, yeah, I picked this up. Oh, you know, it's always games I've either played or wanted to play. Because a lot of times I'll go and I'll see the game and I'll go, oh, cool, it's here. I'm not really wanting to spend $60 on a classic game right now. Because I am not the person yet where it has to be on the system. And I'm not that level where it's like I'm not at the point where I'm buying like $500.
I do have
recreated Nintendos.
Yeah, I do. I do want to get a NES original,
right?
Which is, I think is going to be the term now, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, okay. So there's the
classic doesn't exist anymore.
So if we go through all of them. If we go through all the iterations of Nintendo.
Oh, we don't need to do that. I just wanted to explain that, like...
Oh, right, right. The thing is that even that's a very interesting distinction. Do you mean the...
The front-loading one.
Right, not
the
top.
VCR input.
Not the NES 2. The NES 2 is the
top
loader.
No, right. I don't want that.
I think, hey, look, that has some advantages to it.
I don't care about the advantage. I want the one I had that I like sat cross-legged in front of my TV and played Zelda on.
So you want the Nintendo. Okay, so you want the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, I don't want that crappy top-loader bullshit.
You play, your parents hook it up. Now you're playing with power.
Oh, I know how to hook it up. I didn't want to hook it up.
I
then.
Know too. My parents never hooked it up for me. I think I hooked it up.
But someone
I think
was
they
like
did it once.
Someone was saying like, "Oh, you should get the Retron
5.
5 or 4. And saying like, it can play all these games. It can play Genesis. It can play
yep.
Master System. It can play NES, Super NES. It's like, I don't give a shit about any of that crap. Because, like, I'm barely going to use it.
And I think that's what's the interesting thing of when you talk to different people on what in the retro community, what they expect. Like,
right.
you talk about Retron 5 to certain people, I mean, look at you, they look down on you. And not because it's a bad system, but because it's actually emulating the systems.
Oh, I think it's I think the Retron 5 is fine.
Oh, no, I think it's great. I think it's an amazing
but,
thing.
But I want the NES original because... That's what I wanted to have bust. That's what I want to have on my table.
Right, like you want the NES, and then there's the people who also are like you, but they want HDMI hookups, and that's where you get the AVS or the I forget what the other one is. Like,
I don't know. I probably just get like I might get just like a crappy $20 TV.
No, yeah, and again, it's there's all it's.
This is gonna be like. This would be like something I would bust out at parties or something.
Well, because for you know the other thing that you have that we both have that's
Russian
that's,
roulette.
Yeah, I think it's right here on my. I don't think you guys can see it, sadly, but
that game's complicated.
It is.
It's pretty loaded imagery in that game, and I think even Andy Raytano would be like, I don't know if I should make this.
A titty.
I think it's too late for him.
my favorite is the. I think there's a point where. I think it's you could shoot the gun, and if you hit the teddy bear, I don't know if it still exists, but it existed at least for the version I played, where he's like my teddy, and, like shoots you back, shoots back in, the game ends.
Right.
I just love the idea of a hardened cowboy having a teddy bear.
Yeah, like whiskey and stuff too, right?
Yeah,
I haven't played my copy yet because I don't have an NES.
I don't either, but I mean, I knew buying this that I wasn't gonna be able to play it. Just because I don't have any of the equipment for it.
I'm going to go get an NES original at some point.
No, yeah. But, you know, all that being... And again, there's other things for it in terms of light guns and stuff like that. It's funny. But it's so fun to kind of talk with all these different kind of groups of retro gamers and to sort of see the different sects and more importantly, the different generations. Because, like, for you and... Like you mentioned that your mother had an Intellivision.
And, well, I mean, she probably got it for the family or something.
But, I mean, the point is, like, I never had an Intellivision or Atari. Like, I didn't get into gaming until the Nintendo. Like, that was my first kind of memory of a system.
Right.
I always knew that Atari existed. And I always knew that these things existed. They, you know, the joke I make is I was born in an era. Like, I don't know of an era existing where video games weren't a concept.
Right.
Like, arcades always existed. Mm-hmm. You know, these sort of things have always been in the present. But I've never, you know, I never had an Atari. I never had a television. Never had a ColecoVision. But you
I actually
know.
Have an Atari now.
Really,
I didn't have one when I was growing up. But my mom had found one at like an auction. She gave me like a big box of Atari stuff. So I just got to figure out how to hook it up.
Atari's not Thanks, too Mom. Hard. Yeah, Atari's not too hard to hook up. It takes some difficulty, but not terribly too hard.
I guess I got to make sure it's clean and stuff, so it'll right. turn on properly.
But anyways. So, you know, you talk about that portion of that, and you go to Classic Game Fest, and you look in there, and there's everything from, you know, from Atari to ColecoVision to some Magnavox and television games to some crazy shit like that. It's like, well, you know, you see stuff. And then there's the other generations, like Super, you know, Nintendo on up, mm-hmm. and you see, like, all the Nintendo games, stuff like that. They see Super Nintendo, then because I'll have friends of mine that are like, oh, yeah, look what I bought on 64. I'm like, that's cool. You know, knowing that. I'm probably never going to buy this on 64 again, you know, or that. Cause I don't even know where my 64 is anymore. I take it back. I know where my Super and PlayStation is. But it's fun to go to that and to see those portions of it, but to also be part of that same festival and to know that, like, in the next room, all your friends are playing awesome music.
Right, yeah.
Because that's really, it was like right there, and it's like, you know, all the artists that you saw, the NPC Collective were performing, and I think we even had some, I almost want to call them, you know, I don't even know the term anymore. If NPC is a group, like, I'd almost call, like, Bitforce, like, the allies of the NPC.
I guess so. Well, they were amazing.
Yeah, that was you saw Bitforce prior at PAX South.
Yeah, Bitforce and Megaran might be one of the best nerdcore shows I've ever seen in my life.
What did you think of having the other parts of the Voltron, like the Chocobros and
I think
and
it was good. I just think things are super focused with when it was just Bitforce and Megaran.
I think it's such a
They're all really great together. I actually didn't see Mega Man set, so I don't really know.
No, you missed a lot. Well, because it's interesting.
Because that was yesterday. That was Saturday afternoon, so I missed that one.
Hey, look, we have V Money 48, which is Vincent Banks. There apparently Prey and Bitforce are NPC. I never know because it's funny. It's such a funny concept of calling what like the NPC is. For those who have no idea what the hell I'm talking about or kind of are still thinking NPC stands for non-player character, NPC is basically is what's called the nerdy player, the nerdy people of color. For lack of better words, we are a loose, I say loose collection because we actually are a very, very well-defined collective, but we're a very loose connection of people who are all about the concept of representation in video games,
right?
And other things, and you know, it's from you have ranges from a lot of people who are part of it are artists in their own right, whether it be in music and stuff like that. Other creatives, I'm kind of the weird person in that I am a creative in terms of making podcasts and terms of that, but I'm you know not a musician in any capacity, so I'm like the weird like the joke I made. When I was talking with people in interviews, they're like, I'm kind of like the Sid of the group. Like I'm Sid from Final Fantasy IV, where it's like, where I don't really do a whole lot. I don't really have all, you know, I can't really make, I'm not part of the main party, but I can give you a hell of an airship. You know,
Sid was in the main party.
Sid was in other main parties. The version 4 of Sid was like, he hung out with you for a bit and is like, peace out, bro. I got to go back to helping the castle.
That one.
Right, that's why I say Final Fantasy 4 Sid, because 7 Sid, he was like, yeah, I got a cigarette, I can fight. Like, every other Sid's active, except for maybe 8. Oh, God, now we're talking about Sid. But it's a joke I make, because I have never idea how to promote that stuff. But it's fun. It's kind of fun to be the non-artist in a group of artists.
Well, you're an artist, though. You create.
Well, I'm gonna say like non-artist. I mean, non-music artist. I'll put it that way.
Oh, right.
It's fun to know that, because like I was talking with like it's fun to be the guy that knows he'll never be that and has no desire to be that, but okay. Wants to help his friends to be more of that. Much like you or I have no desire to make a video game. Even though I probably could at least try. But I know enough about how video games are made that I have no problem encouraging people and giving advice of like, check this out, check out Unity, break down tic-tac-toe into its game mechanics,
right?
You know, because that's all that really goes into making it, and that's all that is the base core of how to make a game. The rest is just making it, which is up to you at that point. You know,
like, just time.
Yeah, exactly. Just
all
do,
the tools
know.
Are free these days,
right?
So.
And you know, just do it. And that's the thing I give is like, you can do it. Here's all the stuff to do it. Just fucking do it, because you're gonna do bad ones for your first 4 ones no matter what. I get like Rami Ismail, which just says just make shit, you know.
Yeah, those guys like game jam all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Just like just make shit, doesn't matter what. Just even
I wonder
if it's
what
bad.
Those guys are working on next.
I wonder what too. I really, I think they're. I know that they're working on stuff.
Rami's just always on tour.
Rami's like he's the one person like that I am glad I've got to meet, but like man, that guy is just. Goes every like he I think he told me why. I think he said like basically he says yes to everything and tries his best to do it.
Oh, I should invite him to like a barbecue.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, just he'll say, because again, it's not like he won't do something. It's just like that's why the joke on his Twitter panel, his Twitter profile is like, where is he in the world? And it's like, you know, 30,000 feet in the air,
right.
But rewinding back to the whole thing, it's fun to now officially be part of that group. And to see it, because I'm going to try to reach out to a lot of the guys there and ask them if they'd be up for being guests, because A, I love chatting with people, and B, new guests are great. But it was fun. It was really fun to be a part, you know, to be at that point, because I never had a chance to really do that during South By to a certain degree. I've had a chance to hang out with Rand a couple times. Obviously, you know, DJ Rockman and Vincent I hang out with as much as I can. But it was fun to kind of be in that. It must have been fun for you, especially because you got to meet like some of the art. Like you had to actually talk with Samus, and she had she liked your shirt, and you got to have a whole like conversation with her.
Oh, you know, I feel like maybe I should have talked to her more.
You probably should have,
because I guess like when I see like an artist touring, and especially someone who's, I don't know, you always think like they're so busy, but I bet they just like do. They
what
do,
I've
like,
learned, what
people.
I've learned a lot of the, with the, I'd almost want to say this is I can say this is a blanket statement of the NPC, only because it's almost a blanket statement to say an indie artist, but specifically them, or anyone that they tend to hang out with, I think that they're all hyper approachable. Like, I didn't get a chance to go to the Dirty Dozen this past weekend, but you did. You got to see Crunkwitch perform.
That was really good.
Right, and like he's hyper. I forgot the guy. What's his?
In 80.
Yeah, in 80's dual core.
Talking about Brandon.
Brandon. He's hyper approachable. Like, I got to meet him because Persona introduced me to him.
I'm glad I finally got to see them at a not South by Southwest show. And kind of, I mean, like, so they only played for, like, 10 people, but it was, like, such a freaking awesome performance.
Well, that's
like,
that's sort of what I've learned by
just why I tried to film it and just feel like, so people need to know.
And I think that that's important. I had broadcasted live all of Classic Game Fest, all of IQ set, because I felt people need to know, because I felt like people need to hear more IQ. Because I was talking with Drew afterwards, because he was playing a tournament. I was like, did you get a chance to hear IQ set? He's like, yeah, that was wow. Like, it was just like hyper emotional thing, and it's like, this is good. I'm like, yeah, because I want more people to know this sort of side of artists. But it was fun. You know, it's fun to know that a lot of these guys that we all like are approachable. Because I can imagine, like, when you're done with a set, like, you talk with Brandon and kind of chit chatted a bit, or at least hopefully.
I was actually on the run.
Oh shit!
Because I did talk to him, and then Dual Core went on. But after Dual Core set, I bounced because I told my friends I was going to make it to Game of Thrones, and they held off watching it for like a half hour. And so, like, basically as soon as David did, pack all the things,
yep.
I was like, shook his hand, like, I love you, man. I gotta go.
But at least he saw the set. I felt bummed because I had to work that night, and I always hate kind of going out when I have to work just to be safe and not, like, you know, get my ass fired.
There's no corporation in the world worth making that sacrifice for.
it's hey, look, it pays the bills. It's more me being. It's weird when you realize that this is the moment when you're being an adult, is when it's like, okay, I could go do this, but my car, if I get a flat tire or something happens.
Oh, that would like literally never happen. If it did, they'd be fine. They'd say, oh, you got a flat tire, it's life.
Right, it happens. But this is the brain kicks in all the different bad scenarios. Because
they're not going to fire you for getting a flat tire.
No,
psycho company
they wouldn't. But it's all these things like, you know. But that being said, it's apparent to me that anyone that that tends to kind of hang out with my friends, no matter where they are on tour, tends to be approachable. Like, right. Tends to be the point where you can go and say hi. You know, they're not, you know, if they're there, if they're not, you know, if they're outside elsewhere, different, maybe, you know, working on stuff, different story.
Well, I mean, like, permission's everything, and social media is so important. So if you're nice to people, they'll talk about you on social media.
Right, exactly. Or like, here we are talking about, you know, Crunkwitch, and here we are talking about Samus, and you know, here we are talking about these amazing artists, you know, like, again, like, I'm excited for their new stuff, because I know, like, as a guy that kicked in their Indiegogo, like, I'm looking forward to having some new music from Crunkwitch.
The new material is excellent. I don't want to say way better, but it was better than the old stuff. So,
but I mean, that's okay. Artists are supposed to improve.
Yeah, I think Brandon and Hannah are doing a really good job.
Yep.
So I'm very happy with how that's going for them.
I am too. But it's fun, you know. I think, you know, to tie us all up, because we're almost out of time. We're almost at the hour mark. I think festivals like Classic Game Fest, and I realized I didn't know we were going to talk about Classic Game Fest for the next hour. So, but hey, sometimes you just kind of get that way.
Right.
I think Classic Game Fest is one of those festivals that, having gone to it from the beginning, like, and I mean, like, literally, like, the first Classic Game Fest, to kind of give you an idea, was in the parking lot of Game Over Video Games on Anderson.
So it was like just like a sale.
Yeah, it was just like that, and Descendants of Urgic played, and here we are now, where it's at the Palmer, and top tier music talent like Mega Ran, Samus, Kadesh Flow,
right,
Creative Mind Frame, Bitforce, Kirby's Dream Band, like all these, you know, DJ Rockman, any of these names that have now in my mind become synonymous with talent,
right,
and synonymous with bringing talent with them, are playing at a festival that began in a parking lot.
That's how it goes. I mean,
I know,
it's
but
it,
like it's great. Like, I didn't realize I'm saying that now, and only because it was your first year, and you're like, "This is awesome. This is great." And Like, you know, you make.
I mean, I'll come back just for the music alone.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, that's the such a strange part for me is that I go that just for the music. Like, I go there to meet some of the artists every so often. But I usually my entrance is like, oh cool, my friends are playing a show, or oh cool, my friends are playing a show and these new artists are with them that
there's,
I have not.
No,
met.
There's no reason for me not to set up a more official game table either. But yeah. The tables were pretty cheap there. So.
That's a funny thing too. It's this weird. I say it's a weird festival, meaning that it's very professionally ran. It's very well ran. It has, you know, but there's never issues. Like, I never feel like things are going bad. It's, you know, there's panels and they've figured out how to split things off and make sure the music's not too loud for this and everything's fine. But it's one of those things where going there year after year and going to other bigger cons year after year and just seeing how effective they are at working what would come off as this like smaller convention, because it's like, well, it's Classic Game Fest. How many people are into retro video games? And it's not even so much that it's about retro gaming anymore. It's this weird festival that happens that just so happens to have retro video games as its core, because it's ran by, you know, Game Over Video Games. But like, there's artists, there's VR games, you know, there's indie stuff, there's other weird things going on, and then there's this music section that has a lot of, you know, really awesome hip hop and rock and roll. It just so happens to be video game related to a certain degree,
right,
or even anime related to a certain degree. And it's such a fun thing for me to see and have been part of as it's grown to become this, you know.
I'm excited to see what happens with them next year.
Phil, we'll talk more about the post shows and stuff like that. But Phil, thank you so much for being on the Real Podcast again. If people want to catch more of your stuff, especially because you're now, you know, your game is out and available for purchase, where can people find all the stuff that is in the world of Phil and Battle Floss and stuff
so
like that?
So my main output would be the game Battle Sloths. So you can follow the game Battle Sloths at Battle Sloths WoW. We're also on Facebook at Battle Sloths Game. And then I'm also on Twitter as Invisible Thrill, and that's my handle on Instagram, but I mostly just post pictures of my cat and vegan food.
Look, I think your cat needs to be an actual playable character in battles. Like, you need to have cat.
She has a hat.
She's a hat. I know she's a hat in the golden thigh to think. She needs to be you need to make a cat version of the sloth somehow.
Battle cats.
Kitty. See, that's what make the game different. That's the mod for it, the battle kitty mode.
Oh geez, I don't know if I have the resources for that.
Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. They're the Twitters and on the internets. And of course, if you want to catch previous of the podcast, you go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you find links to show notes, previous episodes, and of course, if you happen to have some money left over after buying your copy of Battle Floss, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that's it for today. So until next time, talk to another geek, also completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.